My dearly beloved in Christ, we do not have, for most of the sacraments in Scripture, the exact time, place, circumstances when our Lord instituted that sacrament. But we do have that for the Holy Eucharist, of course, and for the sacrament of penance. So it's on the evening of the resurrection that our Lord instituted this wonderful sacrament of forgiveness, the sacrament of penance. And it's interesting that when he appeared in the upper room to the apostles, one of them was absent, the others were all there, it says he breathed upon them and said, "Peace be to you." And he repeated it, "Peace be to you." And then, "Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you shall retain, they are retained." So it's interesting that those words, "Peace be to you," and the institution of the sacrament of penance were so closely connected. Because, of course, the sacrament of penance is a source of great interior joy and peace of heart, knowing that our sins are forgiven if we confess properly. Now, Protestants will say, "Well, I could never confess my sins to a man. Why do you have confession? Why can't I just say to God in my heart, in my own mind, I'm sorry for my sins and be forgiven?" Well, how would the apostles know whether to forgive or retain the sins unless they heard them? But this idea of confessing sins was not novel. It was not something new at this on this occasion. We can go all the way back to Adam and Eve. And after they sinned, God compelled them to acknowledge that they had sinned, although they tried to pass the blame. Adam said, "Well, yes, I ate the forbidden fruit, but the woman you gave me for companion gave me to eat." And then God went to Eve, and she said, "Well, yes, I ate, but the serpent tempted me." So they tried to pass the blame, but nevertheless, they were forced to admit, to acknowledge, to confess that they had broken God's commandment. We see this also in the example of King David, when God sent the prophet Nathan to David, and he confessed his sin, and other places in the Old Testament. But we also see it in the New Testament with the baptism by St. John the Baptist. Here is the Gospel of St. Matthew. "Then all went out to him, then there went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins." And St. Mark says much the same thing. "And all the country of Judea went out to him, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins." So that would have been even before our Lord instituted the sacrament. We read in the Epistle of St. James, "Confess therefore your sins to one another, and pray for one another that you may be saved." Well, be grateful, we're not obligated to confess our sins to one another. But we are obligated to confess our sins in the confessional, in this wonderful sacrament of penance. The Catechism tells us that for a confession, to be a good confession, it must have three qualities, three things. It must be humble, sincere, and entire, the three qualities of a good confession. It must be humble. We confess from our heart. We're not just words. We mean it in our heart, in our mind, and we have humility. We have that acknowledgement that I am a sinner. So we confess with humility. Second, sincere. That means that we confess our sins as we believe them to be in the eyes of God, not trying to gloss over, minimize, or excuse, or hide them, but confess honestly in a straightforward manner our sins. And then third, entire, means that a good confession must include at least all mortal sins. Not venial sins are not obligatory, although we like to confess our venial sins and certainly may, but they're not obligatory, the confession of venial sins, but all mortal sins must be confessed to make a good confession. So we reflect upon this wonderful sacrament and realize that it was instituted on the very day, the very evening of our Lord's resurrection, and I think for a reason, because one who is in the state of mortal sin and goes to confession and makes a good confession and receives absolution, so to speak, rises to life, rises again to the life of sanctifying grace, which he or she lost by that serious sin. So let us be grateful for this sacrament and make use of it devoutly. Now, again, for non-Catholics who say, well, that must be so hard for you to go to confession, what is interesting is that the church only obligates Catholics to go to confession once a year. It's one of the six precepts of the church, to confess our sins at least once a year. But very few Catholics limit themselves to only once a year. We like to go to confession more often because we realize that there is in this sacrament, as there is with every sacrament, a sacramental grace. And the sacramental grace of confession helps us to overcome temptation, to conquer temptation, to persevere in good, to overcome sin. And so we get that special sacramental grace from confession. So it is good to go to confession often and to receive the wonderful graces of this sacrament, a sacrament of mercy, the sacrament of forgiveness, and a sacrament, we could say, of the resurrection, whereby we rise to a new life, receive or recover the life of grace if it has been lost. Let us treasure this sacrament and let us make you frequent and devout use of it. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, amen.